Well, we get used to all of these blessings and don't realize how important they are till we lose them. While the power was out, I went to the restroom back there, and the first thing I did was flip that switch. I thought, power's out. I knew that before I went in there, but I still flipped that switch, thinking that the power was going to come on. And so we get used to things, and Sean mentioned we needed to speak up because the power's not on the microphone. And sometimes we forget things like that. We see this microphone here, and so we think, well, you know, it's picking up, so don't have to talk loud. But that wasn't true, and I don't guess I need this light right now. We're looking at divine protection this morning. And in the first seven verses of Psalm 91, there are three things that we learn about our God. He is our refuge, He is our deliverer, and He is our shield. So God's love and care for us is shown in these three actions. And we want to look at those three things from Psalm 91, verses 1 through 7. First of all, God is our refuge. Verse 2 says, a stronghold and a place of protection. And so He is a refuge for the poor. We talked about that in class this morning, that God has always been concerned about the poor. In Psalm 14:16, it says, you shame the counsel of the poor, but the Lord is His refuge. And so God is a refuge for the poor. He's a refuge for the oppressed. In Psalm 9:9, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And so we have that promise of God that when we're oppressed, God is there for us. He's there for us no matter what we're facing in our life. But he's a refuge for the poor, for the oppressed. For those in time of trouble, Psalm 46:1, our God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And so we have that refuge in time of trouble. Psalm 9:9 also mentioned that when we're facing troubles, God is our refuge. I think I mentioned last week that the newsletter we had from Gary Workman about the work in Ukraine, and when you think about all the bombings that are going on there and how little they have, and they don't have electricity, they don't have heat, they just don't have much of anything. But the church is growing because that's the refuge that God offers to those who are in trouble. And so many times we turn to God when we're facing troubles in our life, and we need His help. And so He is a refuge from those in time of trouble. He is a refuge from those that are facing violence. 2 Samuel 22:3, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. And so He lists a number of things there that refer to the stronghold and the refuge and saving from violence. Is a shield to us. And so even though we may face violence, He is there with us to go through that with us and to give us assurance that He is with us even in times of violence, that we may not understand why we're suffering the way we are, but He is there with us to comfort us and strengthen us in that time. He is a refuge for the laborers. Ruth 2 and verse 12, the Lord repay your work and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, on whose wings you have come for refuge. And so they're speaking of laborers. They come to God for refuge. For those who are working hard and struggling with their work. He's a refuge from calamities. Psalm 57 verse 1. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wing, I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. And so we go to God in time of trouble, calamities, and he protects us there. We may still be suffering, but we're under his wing, we're under his protection, and he is there with us. He is a refuge for God's children, Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. And so his children, referring to the people of God, in this case, the Israelites, in our case, Christians who are under his wing and have his help, and he is a refuge for them in times of problems. We seek refuge when there's a problem. In the storms of our life and all, any time that we're facing problems, we face that. And so as his children, he is always there for us as a loving father. And then for those who need consolation, Hebrews 6:18, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. And so for those who need to be consoled for various reasons, they need our words of comfort and strength. God is there for us. And many people love to read the Psalms in times that they are suffering, because that's what David was doing when he wrote those Psalms, and others who wrote some of the Psalms, that they were facing problems and they were looking to God for help and refuge. So God is our refuge, we see in verse 2, a stronghold, a place of protection. He is always there for us as his children. And we pray to our Father, which means we are his children. Many people pray to God who are not his children. And so we become a child of God by being born into the family of God through our new birth, and that is baptism, after we have repented of our sins and confessed Jesus as the Son of God. Then we're buried for the remission of our sins in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. And that's where we enter the family of God, where our refuge is. He is also our deliverer, we see in verse 3. He gets us out of bad situations. He is our deliverer from temptation, 2 Peter 2:9. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. So God knows how to deliver us out of temptations. He always offers a way of escape for us. When we're faced with temptation, there's always a way out of that temptation. He is our deliverer from the body of death, 2 Corinthians 1:9 through 10. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. And so we will be delivered from physical death. That's not the end. We will be delivered from that by our resurrection, just as Jesus was resurrected from the dead. We also have that hope to be delivered from the body of death. He will at times deliver us from physical death, 2 Corinthians 1, verses 9 through 10. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. So Paul faced the danger of death many times in his life, and he was delivered from that. And we also will at times be delivered to our death. We know that there are times that God does not deliver people from their death. Many Christians died in the Colosseums of the Romans for sport. And those people were not delivered, but they were delivered into heaven. And so we're winners either way. Whether we die or whether we live, we're winners. We are victorious. And so if he delivers us from physical death, great. If he doesn't, great. So we're going to be with God then. from the power of darkness, which of course is Satan and his influence. In Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Oh, so we've been conveyed or translated into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Christ, from the darkness of the kingdom of Satan. And that fact that we can see now in the light where we're going. When we were in darkness, we didn't know. We didn't know what our final end was. And we are in the light. We know the path we're on and where it leads. And so he delivered us from the power of darkness. He can deliver us from persecutions. 2 Timothy 3:11. Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Now, by persecution and delivering us from persecutions doesn't mean we're not going to go through the persecution. Now, Paul went through the persecution. What he's saying is that God delivered him from that, and he did not die in those persecutions. And he faced death many times as a result of being a Christian. But he was delivered from that. We are delivered from every evil deed. 2 Timothy 4:18, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And again, deliverance comes either way from evil deeds. Whether life or death results from it. God delivers us from that. We're delivered from the evil one, Luke 11:4, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And that evil one is Satan and his influence through human beings on this earth that will teach false doctrine and cause problems and persecutions for the church as a result of that. And many times we think, and some people think, that, well, Satan can possess us and there's still demon possession and all of that going on. No, it's only through influence that Satan influences us as well as God influencing us. Satan can't force us to do his will, and God will not force us to do his will. And so the choice is up to us which we do. But he is a refuge for us from the evil one. If we want that protection, he is there for us. And then from trouble, just as he was our refuge in time of trouble, he will deliver us from trouble, Acts 7:9-10. The patriarchs, becoming envious, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of all his troubles, and gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. And so we see how Joseph was delivered from the trouble. Did he suffer? Sure he did. You know, he was a slave and eventually worked himself up to that position that he was in. But he suffered a lot in that process. But he was delivered from it. From this evil, from the law, in Romans 7:6, but now we have been delivered from the law, having died to that which we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So it says we were delivered from the law, meaning the law of Moses. When it says the law, that's talking about the law of Moses. And so we were delivered from that. And all we have to do is go back and read Leviticus and Deuteronomy and look at all of those laws that they had to follow to realize what a blessing it is to be delivered from the old law. And basically the new law is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so on those two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So we've been delivered from the law. It was nailed to the cross with Jesus. We are delivered from this evil age. In Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. Sometimes we think that we're living in the most evil age that there ever was, but we're not. And we don't know what it was like to live in the time of Christ. We don't know what it was like to live in the times of Noah. But if you can imagine every thought of people being evil continually, we don't live in a place like that today. There are a lot of wonderful people living in this world that are not Christians. And so we don't have to face what they faced. And so when we get to thinking, oh, this world's so evil, we need to remember Noah and what was going on then. And even Christ and what the Christians had to go through then with the persecution and everything that was going on. And then the last one that he delivers us from is the coming wrath. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. To wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Talking about the judgment, the end of the world, we're going to be delivered before this world is burnt up with fervent heat, and all of those and all the works that are in them will suffer that destruction. But we will be delivered from that. We'll meet Christ in the air before all of that happens, and we won't face that wrath of God, as well as eternity in heaven as the wrath of God, an expression of it through the punishment of eternal death in hell. And so we are delivered from the coming wrath. Then we see that God is our shield. He is our protection from enemy attacks. He shields us from things. He is a shield for those who trust in him. Proverbs 30 and verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. And so if we trust in God, that shield is there. And sometimes we may not see it, but it's there. And so a lot of times we don't see the way that God shields us from things and keeps us from suffering things that we might have otherwise suffered. We can't see that it's there, but it's there. He is a source of glory. In Psalm 33, but you, O Lord, are a shield for my glory and the one who lifts up my head. He is a shield for us in our glory and helps us to maintain that relationship with him and honoring him and living for him in this life. He is a source of strength. Psalm 27:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. With my song, I will praise him. I think of shields many times. I remember seeing a movie about the Spartans way back in the 50s. And I remember at the end of that, it showed all of these soldiers out there grouped together with the shields up and all these arrows coming down and hitting those shields. Now, I think ultimately they died, but they were protected by those shields. And that was the purpose of a shield, to protect us from the enemy attacks. And so God does that, and he's there for us to do that. He is our source of help. Psalm 33:20, for our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. And so he helps us through shielding us from things. And sometimes when we're shielded from things, we don't even know about it. We don't realize it. It's like it's an invisible shield that we don't even realize it's there. I remember one congregation I was in. I haven't asked the elders here and prayed to, but I said, I guess probably the preacher probably gets a lot of criticism that never gets to him because the elders take it. And they hear everybody talking about the preacher and problems with the preacher and stuff, and the preacher never hears it. And they said, yes, that's true. They didn't tell me all those things they had said about me, but it's true that the elders many times are a shield for the preacher. And they take the criticism that's leveled on him, and they just determine whether it's valid or not and whether they need to act on it or not. But the elders shield the preacher from much criticism. And so the same way God shields us from things we don't even see, we don't even realize, because we weren't affected by it. You know, if you can imagine driving down the road and, say, a helicopter falling out of the sky, two car lengths behind you, it's possible you might drive on and never even know that happened. And yet you were that close to death. And so God shields us in that way so that we don't even realize many times what he has shielded us from. He is our shield to surround us, Psalm 5:12, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous, will favor you, will surround him as with a shield. And so the shield usually just protects the front of you, but many times it, in God's case, it surrounds us, all around us, to protect us from all directions. And much of the body armor and such that was worn, the shield, was designed to go in front of you, not behind you. Because you're advancing toward the enemy, you're not running away from him. And so that same protection was not on your back, that was on the front of you. And so we are advancing toward the enemy to spread the gospel to those who are lost in this world. And he surrounds us with that. He is our shield to bring us salvation, Psalm 18:35. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. So you have given me the shield of your salvation. When you stop and think about that, to know that we are saved is a great shield to us, that we don't have to worry about what's going to happen to us in this world. Because we know we're saved. We know they have that home in heaven. John said these things are written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. And so we know that we have eternal life. And so the knowledge of that salvation is a shield to us, to help give us the strength and the courage to go out and face the life that we have to live on this earth for him. And then he is a shield for the upright, Proverbs 2:7, he stores up wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. So he's a shield to us as long as we're doing his will. We stop doing the will of God, he removes that shield from us. We don't have that same protection that we had before. And so we need to realize the importance of us walking uprightly, doing the things that God wants us to do in this life. If we want his protection, if we want his refuge, if we want him to be our deliverer, then we must do what is right in his sight. In Psalm 91, verses 14 through 16, says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's what's available to us as children of God. If we're faithful children of God, we have protection because we love God, because we know God. And he will deliver us. He will set us on high. He will hear us. He will be with us in our trouble. He will deliver us. He will honor us. He will give us long life, and he will give us salvation. And so how wonderful it is to know the divine protection that we have from God, and the fact that he has promised us all of these things, all of these protections, and all of these things that we will be delivered from because we love him. And his son's blood will cover our sins. And so if you're not living under the protection of God, if you're not doing those things that are pleasing his sight, if you have not repented of your sins and confessed him as the Son of God and been buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins, then you will not be a part of the family of God. You won't have those blessings, protections. You won't have that home in heaven prepared for you. But if you're willing to do that, to be buried with him in baptism, walk in newness of life, then you can have those blessings that he provides for us. If you as a child of God have failed in living your Christian life, then oh, you should. You need to repent of that, confess that, and we'd be glad to pray for you that God would forgive you of any wrongs that you have done. So whatever your need might be at this time, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.